All right, well, take your Bible to a familiar passage, Luke chapter 2, if you will. Luke chapter 2. I had a missionary lined up, and at last minute it wasn't going to work. And so here I am. You're stuck with me twice in one day. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, if you will. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. Again, a very familiar part of the Christmas story. All right, we there? Here we go. Verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, by the way, when it said, this is not the message, but notice that here it says this, let us see this thing. They're not calling Jesus a thing. They're calling the plan that God has given a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, this gift, this plan that God has established. That's the thing they're looking at there. So let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I don't think there's going to be a long message this evening, but we shall see. I have a little thought here that I want us to look at. Just some observations, if you will. And so tonight, let's pray. I'm going to talk about the first evangelists. The first evangelists. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful gift you've given us. How can we help but say and speak what we've seen and heard? What a magnificent gift you've given us. This thing, this gift of eternal life, this provision by the Almighty of creation, showing his mercy and his love toward a fallen race. How could we help but pronounce it to all those who are around us? Lord, meet with us here this evening. Encourage our people. May we take heart in some things that we're going to see here, some little observations. Lord, I pray that you'll bless in Christ's name. Amen. I've spoken before about the law of first mention. The first time the Lord mentions something in the Bible should be taken note of. Mostly because the Lord is most likely establishing a basic principle concerning that subject. First time you see the word grace, the first time you see the word sin, all those first mentions in the Bible is really interesting if you follow those. So especially when you read the book of Genesis, there's a lot of first mentions in the book of Genesis. And so the first time he mentions it, he's trying to teach us some things and give us some principles. Now, in the book of Acts, we read that the disciples, and by extension we, are to be witnesses unto Jesus. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But I want to propose this evening that the first preachers of the gospel in the New Testament, other than John the Baptist, the first evangelists, if you will, were the shepherds. They were told about the Savior, and then they sought Him and found Him and experienced the Savior, and they could not help but to speak of the things which they had seen and heard. I simply want to make some observations tonight about the first evangelists. Number one, obviously, these evangelists were chosen by God to announce the coming of the Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And then it goes on there and it says, and the angel said unto them, and it goes on and gives the message. You know, the Bible does not record the angels coming to anyone else at his birth. So out of all of the universe, out of everybody on earth, God sends this host of angels to talk to a bunch of shepherds. It wasn't announced to the king Herod, the king of the Jews. It wasn't announced to Caesar, king of the world, so to speak. The angels did not come to the public square of Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? The angels did not descend upon the temple and announce the birth of Jesus Christ. The Lord does record that the angels announced the birth of the Son of God to shepherds. So I simply want us to take note that apparently the shepherds were sufficient for the job at hand. Number two, the shepherds were common people. The shepherds are not some elite class of society. Many of the people of Israel were shepherds. Shepherds kind of represent the average Joe. But actually, shepherds were not really revered by much of the Jewish society either. They were on the low man on the totem pole. Shepherds were often shunned by the rest of society. You know, I think a lot of us just kind of think sometimes, well, you know, who am I? Does God even notice that I exist? I mean, God certainly has more people out there to do this job who can do the job better than I can. My guess is that you know, most of us kind of think over the years, you say, you know what, I'm not the person that God should be calling to do this. Shepherds were common people. Number three, I told you that could be long. Number three. The shepherds were given the good news. Verse number 10 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He says, listen, I know that what you're seeing here seems a little overwhelming, a little much. But it's actually good news. You know. Sometimes you think, well, you know, God kind of pressures us into doing some things we weren't planning on doing, kind of don't really feel equipped to do, and it gets overwhelming, and we kind of fear. You know, I'm sure there's some times when you hear the word being preached from one of our guys or someplace else, And the Lord kind of sticks one in the side there and kind of tells you, this one's for you. You need to take care of this part. And, oh, no, Lord, not me. I can't do that. I can't do that. This is a little overwhelming. But there's no sense of fear. This is good news. You say, well, that's bad news. No, it's good news. It's good news. And you have the good news. But number four, the good news is to be told to all people. Our angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In other words, the news cannot be taken to the wrong person. Now, my guess is that when they heard that, it was kind of like, good news, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I said, oh. Well, I guess that includes us. Do you remember, I don't know whether you remember the day that you realized that salvation was for you too? Really? Yeah, you too. Oh, come on. Yeah. You can have eternal life. I didn't think God even knew I existed. Sure he does. He does. Does he know what I did last Saturday night? Yeah, he knows that too. But fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which comes to you too. Good news to all people. Number five. Evangelists are to preach. Now we'll get there in a second, but evangelists are to preach. Verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, there are many things that preachers can preach. But the main thing that evangelists are supposed to preach, the main message that God has for to be pronounced is Jesus. Jesus. Now, I say that because unto you is born this day in the city of David. Jesus was born, the Son of God, but he was born in this earth in a human form. By virgin. It's Jesus he's talking about here. You know, in this world, there's a lot of things that people can preach. I tell you the truth, the media preaches. They may not think they do, but they do. In fact, we're getting a lot of preaching all over the place these days. And what we need to preach is Jesus. Now listen, it's like anything else. You can talk about religion. They don't really like it, but you know they go on, and especially this time of day, this time of year, they all kind of get on the bandwagon, you know, and you're not hearing a whole lot right now about don't you say Merry Christmas to me, because right now they know better than that, but there'll come a day when they'll say it again. And even Christmas, they don't really mind the word Christmas quite so much because it doesn't say Jesusmas. They can talk about God because there's a lot of gods, you know. And they can talk about peace because we all want peace and joy. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, to the little word Jesus, all of a sudden the hair comes up on the back of their neck and all of a sudden we've entered an area where we have no business going. Because you see, Jesus is the first thing, the Savior. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior. You know what that implies? We're sinners. It implies we're lost. It implies we've got a problem. The purpose of the coming of Jesus is to save sinners. He says, unto you, and unto you is born. Now think about it this. The angels say to these shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a deliverer. One's going to save you. I didn't know we need to be saved. A Savior. This implies we need saving. The news is good news if you realize you're a sinner. The preacher should preach all kinds of things, like first of all, Jesus as Savior. Secondly, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. He is the Christ. We need to preach Jesus as Savior, but we also need to preach Jesus as the authority. The Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the ultimate King of kings over all the world. Jesus is not a ruler or a king. He is the King of kings. He's the one who decides whether you're saved or not. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. He is the authority. He's the one who's going to rule over everything. He's the authority. We must preach that he's the authority. Listen, this is the first thought of evangelism. So what am I saying here? I'm saying if we're going to tell the world who Jesus is, we're going to have to decide that he's Savior. Don't back down from that. Don't sidestep that. We cannot sidestep the fact that we need a Savior because we're sinners. And when you're giving out the gospel, you're evangelizing the world, you must start with that. It came to them. First thing it said was, here comes our Savior. What do I need a Savior for? Because you're sinners. You can't sidestep this. Well, you know, it'll be all right. No, because Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the boss. He gets to decide whether you're saved or not. Now, you got to be nice about it, but the fact is, you can't sidestep that. There's way too many people who's trying to evangelize the world and trying to bring them to a place where it will make their life better. I remember years ago, I was talking to this fellow, and he found out that I was a Christian in our conversation. He kind of got all excited. He wasn't sure anybody else was watching. He got to talking about the conversation, and he got all excited. He was talking to another Christian, you know. And he said, well, you know, when I got saved, I guess I really didn't get saved for the right reason, but I'm saved. He was saved. I'm not sure I got saved for the right reason. I said, what do you mean you didn't get saved for the right reason? Well, I didn't want to go to hell. I guess I should have wanted to get saved so I could be a better person or a better husband or whatever. That's what he said. Now, see, the world has taught, this has been years and years and years ago, but it has swung even past that now, that's what they talk about. I'm going to save you from the problems of life. I'm going to save you from the problems of a bad marriage or from this problem or that problem. Well, those things may come along, but what we need to do is be saved from our sins. Because that's what causes the problems, the sin. Well, am I accountable for my sin? Yeah, you're accountable for your sin. In fact, if you don't get it worked out, you don't get this thing straightened out with the Lord, you're not going to make it to heaven. He's the authority. He's the Messiah. So as we're evangelizing, we've got to make sure we preach him as Savior, preach him as the authority. And kind of going along with that, preach the sovereignty of Jesus. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, Messiah, the Lord. That word Lord there means supreme authority, supreme controller, the sovereign of the universe. What Jesus says goes. You're not saved until Jesus says you're saved. But when Jesus says you're saved, you're saved. The sovereign of the universe has offered you salvation. If anybody in the world, in the universe, can make sure you've got salvation, it's Jesus. Because you see, that's kind of his thing. He's been given control over that. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. God says, I can go in. What business do you have here? God says, I can come in. Well, I don't know. Listen, God gave his word. You go talk to him. And by the way, you're doubting his word. If I were you, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I get to go in. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Well, I don't know. Maybe you were saved one time, but I don't know. You know the stuff that you do? Is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Well, I don't know if you're going to make it. Well, the wages of sin is death, right? And it's Christ who died. If Christ's death is not a good enough sacrifice, there is no other sacrifice. It's Christ who died, yet not on top of that, rose again, proving it was all paid for. Prove that it was accepted. Prove that your salvation paid in full. And not only that, he's standing right at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. Now, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The one who wants to save you is the Messiah and the Lord of the universe. The plan is to start from scratch to make sure we're saved, and then he's going to stand there and make intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. We can preach good tidings of great joy all we want, but until people realize the good news is salvation from our own sin, it's going to do them no good. See, a lot of people, they want to preach good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Number 6. Evangelists are witnesses. What's a witness? Someone who gives firsthand account of what they've experienced. So these first evangelists were told, it says, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, if you want to be a good witness of Jesus Christ, you need to experience Jesus Christ and have witnessed something you can share with others. Seek Jesus out. Now, I'm not saying looking for some kind of crazy thing to happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like we've been talking about on Sunday mornings. Have you experienced him in that still small voice? I'll tell you what, it's pretty hard to sell something. I use that term loosely. It's pretty hard to sell something you don't believe in. Well, I got this vacuum cleaner. I think it'll clean it up. I'm not sure. Well, give me a shot. Well, let me see here. Well, I don't know. I don't think I want it. There's the door. Now the shepherds, watch me. Now watch me. The shepherds could have just taken the angel's word for it and never went looking for Jesus themselves. They could have tried to have faith through the experience of others. But each of us need a personal contact with Jesus and experience that word of God, that the Word of God is true for ourselves. A lot of folks aren't evangelists, if you will, is because they live on secondhand faith. They like it because they, when they sit in church, and you should come to church, keep coming. Faith goes to hearing, hearing by the word of God. But just having come to church and heard whatever what happens to other people's lives, or listen to the joy that's in somebody else's life, or listen to the stories or whatever it may be, or how they someone else led somebody by the Lord. I remember days in my life when I thought, you know, does anybody really lead somebody to the Lord? Can you really do that? I mean, really, you know. Because where I grew up, you didn't do that. Where I grew up, you just kind of talked all about it, and somehow you're supposed to put all the pieces together and do it. But that someone said that they had actually sat down with somebody and led them to the Lord, and I thought, I don't know. That sounds a little weird. What do you mean they led them to the Lord? Well, they preached the gospel to them in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit convicts the heart and the soul and brings them to repentance, and then you simply introduce them to Jesus, and he takes it from there. We're supposed to be witnesses. Just don't live on somebody else's faith. Number 7. The evangelists preach with heaven's authority. Verse 13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They had, you could say, heaven's word on it. You know, you go out and give the gospel, you have heaven's word on it. Now, don't just talk around it. Give them the word of God. The word is life. Well, I kind of know the word of God. Listen, that's why, I know some of you probably get upset with me, but that's why I use so much scripture in my messages. Sometimes they say, oh no, he's going to go to another one. Oh, there's another one. I heard it sounds just like the first one. Yeah, it did. You know why? That's why I said that one too. Because in someplace else, a different writer, someplace else in the Bible, a different time, a whole different era of human history, and it says the same thing. And yet we've got people out here all over the world preaching things that's not the gospel. It's another gospel, but not another of the same. A different gospel, if you will, which is not the gospel at all. And they're preaching all these things, and they're pulling this little verse out. Now, wait a minute. You might be able to contrive this little meaning out of this one verse, but the fact is there's a whole host of witnesses in the Word of God all over the place that tells you that's the wrong interpretation of that verse. Know the word of God. You want to lead somebody to the Lord, preach with heaven's authority. And when you preach to glorify God and preach peace to all men. Number 8. The evangelists verified their message. Boy, there's a word that gets thrown around a lot these days. Verify. The angels verified their message. Look at verse 15. "It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Do a little study on your own. One of the most thrilling things sometimes we ought to is to read the Bible and see something that really the preacher hadn't said yet. And say, ooh, I found that one myself. No, really. A little nugget here or there. To study to show themselves approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. Know the word of God. They verified. They went to see for themselves. Again, we don't live on secondhand faith. And we don't evangelize on secondhand faith. and on secondhand knowledge. Now, I'm going to say something here. We have something we call the Ambassador Club. And Brother Brandon's been doing it for years, and when we got to the point in COVID, and they don't want people knocking on the doors and all that kind of stuff, we haven't done a whole lot here because this really hasn't been, you know, apropos. But we're hoping here real soon, and Brother Tim's going to get that going again, and we're going to do that. But I want you to understand something here. Sitting down and taking a class does not make you a soul winner. Now, it helps you organize the thoughts. It helps you organize the process. And in some ways, it helps you get rid of some of the nerves because you kind of know where you're headed and what you need to do. And you hear it a few times and you understand the Word of God. In fact, a lot of times what happens is you understand the Word of God better yourself. You understand salvation even better yourself. And you experience it more yourself. And then you're able to transfer that to someone else. But taking a class in soul winning does not make you a soul winner. We need to live the Word of God. Be able to convey it to someone else because we know the Word of God. Not just repeating a bunch of cliche phrases. When Jack and I first began the date, let me say it this way. I don't know whether we were dating or just two people who were musicians spending time together. In fact, for several months, now, because Janet grew up Catholic, she wasn't saved, and I told you this morning that she went after me, and so I'll throw that back in there again. She was actually, I was a freshman in college. She had just graduated from college. This 18-year-old boy was seeing a college girl. My mom did not like it. She said, "Who is this old maid chasing after my little boy?" But the fact was, I was a music major, and I, to be honest with you, this is terrible. I'm on a rapid trail here, but it always bothered me that it seems like the people who were in the music in the churches, whatever's good enough is good enough. And then you had people who were out in the world. They would work day and night and work hard to get it just right for the world. And it just really bothered me. Now, I want to be a musician, I want to be a Christian, but I want to be a Christian musician. You know, but I got tired of working with people who didn't want to rehearse. You know, this is God's work. Let's do something good about it, you know. So anyway, we got to talking, but she had just graduated from the Peabody Conservatory down in Baltimore. And of course, you know, I was, ooh, you know. And I was, you know, it's kind of like my college was kind of like a, you know, a junior college, you know. It wasn't, but it was kind of like that. And next to the people when it comes to music. So we spent a lot of time, and I could talk, and we could, you know, she understood what I was talking about, you know, and so it was great. But the fact is, she had been praying for somebody to share the Word of God with her. She was searching, and so to be honest with you, I'd gotten saved when I was 11, and she had found that out in one of our conversations and so forth. So we spent probably after one night I got a phone call. I can still remember. I was sitting in the den in my mom and dad's house, And they got a phone call, and Janet had come home from some kind of activity from the Catholic Church. And it was the college career class. It was. It was a college career class of this little local Catholic church. And they were going to sponsor some kind of activity. And they had this big discussion on who was going to bring the keg. The keg of beer. Okay? I'm more worldly than the rest of y'all knew what keg was. I wondered who was going to bring the keg. And she called me up and just couldn't really quite. He says, this doesn't seem right. Because actually her dad had trouble drinking, you know, and when he got drunk, he got mean. And she knew this wasn't something she wanted to get into. And she called me up and said, I just don't understand. And it was some kind of, but anyway, I said, well, they're just sinners who need to be saved by grace like you are. She said, you think so? I said, yeah, I think so. And I said, tell you what, this is not the great way of doing it. But my mom was sitting in the den. I'm talking on the phone. The little room was only, what, about 11 by 11, just a little tiny room. And I said, hey, Mom. I said, get your Bible out. I'm on the phone. She's in her apartment. I'm at my house. I said, Mom, where's that verse that says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? She says, Romans 3:23. I said, get your Bible and look up Romans 3:23. And she looked it up. We went through. I said, where's that verse that says the wage of sin is death? That's Romans 6:23. Look, find Romans 6:23. And I said, where's that verse that says God commended his love toward us? Well, that's Romans 5:7. Romans 5:7. We went through these things like that. I say I led her to the Lord. My mom did. I was just a mouthpiece. I knew where they were. I just couldn't tell her where to find them. But we need to know the Word of God because it's the Word of God that changes hearts. You know how we became Baptist? I was Methodist. She was Catholic. You know how we became Baptist? We spent the first 6 months of our dating reading the Bible, studying the Bible. She said, well, what's baptism all about? I said, I don't know. I was sprinkled as a baby. I don't think that's even in there. And by the way, it's not in there. Well, what's this? Well, what's it mean when you're baptized by the Holy Spirit? I don't know. these things that conjure up. Well, you got to know it. We read our Bible, and let us say what it says. You're not ignorant. You don't have to have some guy with a crazy hat and wears a skirt to tell you what the Bible says. Verify the message. Number 9, evangelists tell what they know. They'll tell them everything you know. But it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And say it again. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, that means all over in a wide space, the saying which was told them concerning this child. It says, this child is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, wait a minute. We cannot evangelize those around us if we do not tell what we know. I think a lot of times we're sitting on our hands, we're sitting on our feet, if you will. We're sitting on our pews waiting for somebody to win the world. Why is this world so crazy? Why do they act like they do? Why is there so much crime and murder and awful stuff going on in the world? Well, they're not saved. That's the problem. They're not saved. Well, I sure hope they get saved. Somebody ought to tell them, huh? Well, you're somebody. Number 10, the shepherds were telling people about a movement of God that most of the world was totally unfamiliar with. Verse 18, and all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know, we think about, well, they were Jewish people. They should have known all the stories. They were just like us. There were some people who knew the stories, but most of them didn't know it. That's where we live in our society right now. Now, I'll be honest with you. Years ago, A large percentage of Americans went to church. And even in some of the not so good churches, they still said the Apostles' Creed, you know, and a few of these things where they basically heard that Jesus died and paid for our sins, rose again the third day, you know, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And so they had heard those things. Well, how much of it had sunk in, how much been preached, how much really been kind of been pressed upon them, I don't know, but they had heard these things. But we live in a society now who will wonder at what we're saying. But they told them anyway. They told them anyway. Well, I don't know if anybody's going to understand. No, so why bother? They told them anyway. Faith comes with hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You tell them. I tell them. Someone else tells them. This person tells them. Listen, if someone came up to you and said, there's a brand new grocery store opening up in Dover, and you can get a great deal there. I'll guarantee you, you'll get the best. You'll come out with the lowest price on your groceries that you've had in years. You go, well, okay. Next week, somebody comes up and you says, you know, there's a new grocery store in Dover. And be honest with you, so help me, I've gotten some of the best prices that I've ever gotten on my grocery list ever. Huh. A week later, somebody comes up to you and says, you know, there's a grocery store in Dover. And I'll tell you what, you just can't beat the prices. You know what's going to happen after a while? You're going to find yourself that grocery store in Dover. Right? Now, what if everyone sitting in here started telling people in our neighborhood about Jesus Christ? And then they ran into another one of us. Listen, I can't hardly go anywhere and not run into some of our people now. Really? My son-in-law lives out in Cleveland. He used to get a kick out of this because he seemed like everywhere we went, somebody said, "Well, Pastor Walls, it's good to see you." We'd go here, "Pastor Walls, it's good to see you." They go, "Pastor Walls, it's good to see you." He said, "Do you know everybody?" I said, "No, not everybody, but most." And, of course, the worst thing is I'm thinking, I know this face. I don't know a name. I don't know who. You say, well, you're the pastor. They all recognize you. But what does that mean is that there's people who know about this church. Except for the folks that know Larry Graham. There's still folks out there say, "Oh, you're the pastor of Larry Graham's church, aren't you?" Yeah, that's Larry's church. When my church is Larry's church. But anyway, tell them. Tell what you know. That's all you need to do. Tell them about the movement of God. Tell them what God's doing. We live in society when has heard about Christmas and even claims to be celebrating Christmas, but they have no idea who the Christ of Christmas really is. And some folks won't understand until later. Verse 19 says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now she knew some things. She had talked to an angel. But she thought about them. I want to give you the idea that the fact is there's a lot of people who hear what you have to say and they think about it for a while. Nathan's a thinker. If you ever see him doing this while the message is going on, He's kind of like a little puppy dog. You know, a little dog goes, but he does. He cocks his head. You know what I mean? He cocks his head. And I'm not making fun of him. Because you know what I'm saying? He's with me. He's listening. He ponders. The day you got saved, when you were up in your room, what was going on? You just got to thinking. What else? It really wasn't anything else going on. He just got to thinking. And you said to yourself, I've heard you tell this story. Well, you just decided, I don't want to die and go to hell. I probably need to get saved. That's kind of the way you explained it when I heard you preach. You decided, you know what? I don't want to die and go to hell. I think I need to get saved. That's what he got saved in his room. Didn't come to dad, you know, but let me get at least you know, some of the credit. No, I don't need credit. No, that's great. Pondered. That's, we're supposed to tell what we know. We're not going to necessarily be able to lead somebody to the Lord right there and there, right there and then. But you know, if they know, they can do something with it. My dad, he was always, you and your mother's religion. No one have anything to do with it. So I wrote him a letter. He lived next door. But every time we got into the conversation, it would get all hot and heated. And I didn't want to hurt our relationship. We had a good relationship otherwise. So I wrote him a letter. And I said several things, but I said, Dad, I love you, and I just can't imagine heaven without you. And I would never want to do anything to hurt you or make you angry with me. But I just want you to know why. You say, how can anybody know that they're be so arrogant to know that they're going to heaven? Of course, he was assuming works. And so I felt like I needed to explain that I wasn't assuming works. I'm assuming grace. I'm a sinner. So I wrote him a letter, put some tracts in there, and left it go. He carried around that thing for months. My mom kept finding it in his pockets of his suits. She'd take his suits out to get him clean because he wore a suit every day. She told me one day, she says, this is months later, she said, I found that letter you sent your dad. I said, what letter? Because really, I thought it was a lost cause. What letter? The letter about how to get saved. I said, where'd you find it? I found it in one of his suit pockets. So I took it out, and I put it in his dresser stand, top drawer of his dresser, beside the bed. Nightstand beside his bed. He said a couple weeks later, I was checking it, and I found it again in another suit. So I laid it up on top of his dresser. I said, a few weeks ago, I found it again. I think he's been carrying this thing around for 3 or 4 months. And there was a time when I said, I thought you always said all this is easy belief, it was a bunch of foolishness. And he says, well, a little older, a little wiser. And I saw a change in his life. I saw a change in his life. Tell what you know. Number 11. The shepherds went back to their normal life, but only now the good news was constantly on their lips. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That's a witness. That's what a witness is. He glorifies God. Means he renders gloriously. Telling others how wonderful the Lord is. And the word praising God has the idea of telling a story. Telling others what the Lord has done. Witnessing what they have seen and heard. Peter and John, we were talking about this in Acts chapter 4. But the scribes and the priests and Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't want to hear it. And they said, but that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but he had all things in common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. You know, Peter and John were told by Jesus, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, you should be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. He told them that. That's good. You know what? There's no place in this passage with the shepherds where the angels told them to go tell. Doesn't say that. I went back and looked at it again. It doesn't say, now go tell everybody that there's been good tidings of great joy. He says, there will be good tidings of great joy which will be to all people. Well, good. I'm sure glad that's for all people. I'm glad I could have it. And how many Christians do we have that just kind of take it and put it in their pocket and we've got it? These shepherds, if anybody should have felt like they didn't have the right to tell, it might have been the shepherds. If anybody thought that no one's going to listen to them, it was probably the shepherds. Who am I? You're somebody that God came to give salvation. You say, well, who am I to give the gospel? I'll tell you how much God respects you and cares for you. He died for you. He didn't say, well, I'll die for them. I mean, they're not going to do anything for me, but, you know, I'll show them a little mercy. The first evangelist, regular old Joe's, nothing fancy, just thrilled to hear the news and to give the news. Simple thought here. We make this difficult. They simply told what they had experienced. When's the last time you got excited that a Savior was born? And his name is Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. He's Savior. He's Christ, he's Lord, and he's yours. They didn't go to school. They didn't go to evangelist school. They didn't need to. They weren't commissioned by the local synod to preach the gospel. I know there's more to it than this, but I grew up, again, in a denominational church where there's a hierarchy. And the hierarchy is almost like they control you. And don't you dare to go out and do something unless we say it's okay. And I remember the first time I heard about the fact that somebody needed to be licensed to preach. Did you hear that term? Licensed to preach. Now, I understand basically what it's saying is if you want to go out and preach and you want to use the name of Lighthouse Baptist Church as your and be some kind of official guy and so forth or whatever, well, we need to, you know, ordain you and so forth and, you know, and certify that you're going to do what you're supposed to do. But the fact is, I don't see the term license to preach in the Bible. That's a man thing. Preach the gospel. I'll guarantee you most of those shepherds probably could not read or write. If there was such a thing as the King's English, I'm sure they would murder it. But what they had seen was God, and they could share that. We have the same choice. We have the same choice, the same opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be an evangelist. You're called. You have heard the word of God this evening. Go experience him for yourself. Good tidings of great joy. By the way, which shall be to all people. So if you don't mind, help us out. And take it to all people.